and welcome. You're watching Tip TV Finance, me, Jenny Hammond, and Zach Mir. So, Zach, a lot going on today. Obviously, let's start with Donald Trump and his airstrike on Syria and, of course, his meeting with the Chinese president. So what do you think the markets will really be focusing on?
Well, it's difficult not to think of the Syria situation. I think Trump had to act. I mean, you can't have chemical weapons used on children or
anybody
else.
Although Obama didn't act when this happened, was it in 2012? So it's showing a stark contrast between the two presidents there.
Yes, Obama didn't, Obama did so little, he actually allowed Trump to come in. So the people who don't actually like Trump, I would say Obama's lack of action on many things is the reason he came in. But the only thing now is just how much Russia will react. Yeah. I think the markets are being perhaps a little bit, naive or... to say naive in terms of how Russia will react, I think they could be surprised to the downside because Putin losing face is not something that you really want.
Absolutely.
But anyway, instead we got also the Chinese thing, which hopefully will be a decent thing. I think both sides need it to be a good meeting, and I'm quite sure that it will be.
And she's issued an invitation for Trump to visit China. So far, it must be going okay.
Yes, we'll be getting I'm sure the pandas will be arriving any day now.
There you go. But in other news, it's bad news for the BP boss because his salary is going to be cut 40%. So why do you think this is?
Well, I think, call me old-fashioned, but anything over 10 million a year is a little bit excessive these days. And... not really justified. I mean, you can't really do the math on how they work these things out. Around 10 million a year, I think, is just about enough to be getting on with.
Okay, I disagree with you, but anyway. And lastly, you wanted to talk about the story on the front page of City AM. You were surprised by a not guilty
I'm not surprised.
For the Barclays LIBOR case.
I'm not actually a big fan of these retrospective historic cases. The problem with these things, it tends to be really it's still the banker bashing legacy. Yeah. It also becomes a situation whereby the regulator needs to prove that it's doing something or needs to justify its existence and all the cost. So the headline says that all former Barclays duo acquitted was conspiring to rig LIBOR in blow to Serious Fraud Office. We're talking about trying to get justice here rather than, you know, the success or failure of the SFO. So I think that's really the perspective thing that I'm focused on.
Okay, so let's move to the slides and our most popular in business and finance. And as we talked, the US launches attack on Syria with 59 Tomahawk missiles. Oil and gold rise, and I suppose that's as a lot of investors are running towards the supposed safe haven assets.
Yes, I mean, the last time I looked at gold, which was about 4 in the morning, it was at $1,264, which is through the key 200-day moving average. I'm not quite sure whether it still sustained that, but that looks as though we actually have the fundamental trigger for a technical rise.
Yeah. And Trump accepts Xi's invitation to visit China. Two-day meeting continues today. Okay, so let's move on. And we have US non-farm payrolls report is released at 1330 BST. The market is predicting a fairly tepid reading of 180,000, well below the 235,000 reading from February. So I think this is, a lot of people will really be looking at what's happening when this comes out. Zach, what are you
at? Yeah, I mean, the average figure over the last few years is 180, so that doesn't really mean anything, that prediction. I think the ADP numbers in the midweek were strong, so I'd probably be going for nearer to 200 or the low 200s, but not as much as February on that data. But really, the whole thing is now more, the market reaction is more geared to the shrinking of the balance sheet news midweek, and then obviously the geopolitical side. Hopefully, it's just one strike from Trump, and that's it. Because I think anything more than that would be upsetting the Russians.
Absolutely. Okay, next slide. So Wells Fargo has dropped out of the top 10 biggest companies by market cap. Hong Kong-based internet giant Tencent has taken its place. Of the top 10, one is a fund manager, Berkshire Hathaway, another a bank, JP Morgan, an oil company, ExxonMobil, and a consumer goods manufacturer, Johnson & Johnson. All others are new technology companies, with Apple at number one. Any surprises there, Zach?
Well, the surprise there for me is that I've never actually heard of Tencent. I've heard of 50 Cent, who was apparently a rapper a few years back, but I've never heard of that, so it shows how behind the loop I am on that. But good old Berkshire Hathaway is there, and I suppose the other companies are what you'd expect to see in that list, and Apple there at number one with the same iPhone for many years. I'm hoping the new iPhone will actually be a technological advance.
There you go. Okay, so our next slide in our economic calendar. So we have the unemployment rate, change in non-farm payrolls, as we spoke about before, and again, the US unemployment rate. So you think the main one there, Zach, is non-farm?
Well, I think it'll be a bit higher than the market expects, so that's one thing. That probably just would accelerate the Fed hiking chances later this year. These days, because people don't have so much to look at from the non-farms, they tend to look at the unemployment rate and the wage growth, but obviously the headline is the non-farms.
Okay, and the next one we have is FX sentiment, and Zach, what should we look at there?
A flood of money into the Aussie dollar, which I think is on the basis of the RBA's stance for the rest of the year, reported earlier in the week. More people into the euro and also into... a bit into euro sterling, but euro sterling still basically 50-50, even though it deeply divides the market.
Yeah. Okay, and we're moving on to our trade of the day.
Yeah, Shire, one of my preferred drug stocks there. It has a niche presence in the market, being speciality drugs rather than the normal diseases, let's say. So I would be surprised if this fell much further than it has at the moment, but I can see the technical trade there for a £43 target does make some sense.
Okay. Next slide. And broker recommendations.
Yes, Gulf Keystone, if only that share price of 270 pence was before the consolidation, long-suffering private investors would be rather happier. But it does look as though finally there may be a little bit of a rebound on that. And I know there are some analysts who are friendly towards that stock now after all the trials and tribulations it's had. Unilever obviously trying to regroup after rebuffing Kraft and selling off what I regard as the family silver. I think it's Stork and Flora. Not substances I use very often, but I believe they're very popular. And then small cap, cash rich, oil and gas explorer, Serica Energy, on Peel Hunt's buy list after the update earlier this week.
Super, Zach, thank you. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter @OfficialTipTV. And coming up next, our proactive investor shares of the day.